His name is Peter Baldwin, and he's the founder of Bird Dogs Shorts. You've probably seen him on Shark Tank, where Mark Cuban obliterated his pitch. Look, Mark, he'll admit it. The invention of the first ever stretch khaki shorts that feel amazing, look amazing, and can wear literally anywhere wasn't his best idea. But he's got more, like Dog Trader. Just like Auto Trader, but you can sell your old dog. Eh? Mark, I know you'd invest if you just gave him one more shot. So go to birddogs.com/radio and join the 2 million men who think Bird Dogs shorts are a great idea. Or DM Mark Cuban and tell him to give Peter one more shot.
Life comes with a lot of decisions, and it can be hard to know the right path sometimes. A therapist can help you map out what you really want so you trust yourself to make great choices and feel excited about the future. BetterHelp offers convenient, professional online therapy on your schedule, however you want it, by phone, chat, or video call. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/positive today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/positive.
It is one of those fun nights, rare nights, when we have multiple sporting events going on during our show. I love that. I love that we have not just the start of the Women's World Cup down under, but we also have the start of the Open Championship. In fact, it's already underway. First tee times. They're already on the course. This is super cool. And we're trying to figure out how to watch it, actually. We right now don't know what TV coverage is available, but we certainly know that we're going to have coverage from it live here on the show because our friend Matt Adams will join us from across the pond and England, Hoylake, Royal Liverpool, the site of this year's Open Championship. So yes, the first group is already off. And actually, there are multiple groups that are on the course, just haven't yet carded their scores from the opening holes. But yeah, probably the first 9-10 golfers are already out there. Some of the biggest names will be on the course while we are here on the air after hours. Jordan Spieth, he tees off in 2 hours. Let's see, Brooks Koepka, 2.5 hours. Scottie Scheffler right on his heels. Xander Schauffele, same thing before we hit our final hour. And Ricky Fowler, Bryson DeChambeau, they're both going off in the last hour of our show. A lot of different storylines coming from the Open Championship, not the least of which is Rory McIlroy. He doesn't tee off for another 6 hours, so not while we're on the air. But we will definitely talk to Matt about Rory's quest for his first major win in 9 years. I can't believe it's been 9 years. And Liv is not going away.
Like I hit Liv.
I don't know if producer Jay was here when Rory said he would rather retire than play for Liv. But it's not going away. It's still a storyline. And honestly, I'm not sure how much has changed since the whole Liv PGA merger broke and we had Matt Adams live on the air to react. We know that Congress is investigating with hearings. There's still a lot more chatter. I think multiple majors have been played, right? The U.S. Open and now the Open Championship. And I'm not sure we know anything more now than we did then. The golfers keep saying that they actually don't have a whole lot of information. Oh, okay. Well, if you don't and we don't, who does? So we'll check in with Matt coming up next hour here on CBS Sports Radio. I'm Amy Lawrence. It's After Hours and producer Jay is back. He's back and better than ever, I hope. Did the week off rejuvenate you, refresh you, get you ready for football season? Because we are 50 days out from football season.
I saw that on Twitter earlier today, and I think I am. I feel rejuvenated. I feel fresh. It was a good vacation. Ready to go.
I just want to say we ask and we receive. Michael on Twitter, it's on Peacock, which we don't have access to here in studio because why would we? And then USA Network at 4 o'clock Eastern time. So that's coming up in 2 hours. We will have coverage on USA. Michael, thank you so much. I appreciate the tweet. You can find me, A-Law Radio, and then our Facebook page too. And true to my promise, I did share a photo of a sleeping sugar on Wednesday morning. You all are pestering me over and over for a photo of the cat. I have no idea why, but I'm going to retweet just so it's in your news feed. You can check it out, A-Law Radio, and on our Facebook page. The cat is real. I didn't make her up. It was a rare moment in which she was sleeping and calm and not acting like the Tasmanian devil. She can be cute now and then. She very rarely is sweet like sugar. And that's it. I'm not posting. As soon as I posted a picture, someone wanted videos. No, knock it off. I'm not giving you videos from inside my house of my cat and my dog.
I'm not a cat.
She might not be a cat. She might be the Tasmanian devil. Anyway, if you missed it, Sugar is now available on both Twitter and Facebook. Okay? All right. I did my work. And also true to form, as soon as I post the photo, what do you all do? But you share your own cat photos. You guys crack me up. It's a cat community, but it's not just that. It's really a zoo that we share here on social. Speaking of that, pets, producer Jay missed what I feel like is the most significant story of his the time that he was on vacation. Should we tell him now? I think we should tell him now before we get any further on the show. I'm assuming that you did not hear about the man and his dog who were lost at sea for 3 months, floating adrift on the Pacific Ocean until just recently when a Mexican tuna fishing boat found them stranded 1,200 miles offshore.
What?
1,200 miles. Do you know how they stayed alive? Drinking rainwater and eating raw fish.
No. A man and his dog were both found.
A man and his dog. 1,200 miles offshore in the Pacific Ocean. Think about the number of storms over the course of 3 months. It's volatile in the Pacific Ocean, right? Volatile.
Yeah.
Enormous ocean. Lots of storms, lots of sharks, lots of whales, plenty of dolphins, 1,200 miles offshore for 3 months.
And what were they in? Just a normal...
A catamaran. But not one that had a cab on it because they suffered severe exposure. It's something straight out of Castaway, except that it wasn't a raft. He actually was on a boat. But his boat, I guess, got hit by a storm going back to when he first set sail. And actually, he left out of Mexico, and so he's Australian, but he left out of Mexico some 3 months ago, Timothy, and his dog Bella. And pretty quickly after they were sailing, they got hit by a storm. They lost all of their communications equipment, could not get the boat started, and so for that reason, just had to float adrift until another vessel found them, Timothy and Bella. Normal vital signs, though severe exposure and definitely hungry. How about that?
That's unreal.
Isn't that unreal?
I mean, a floating catamaran without
1,200 miles offshore.
That's basically just like a raft.
It is. I mean, you can't do anything with it.
3.5 months, and the dog and him had normal vital signs, or I guess, you know, not okay vital signs, and are...
Normal was what the doctor indicated. Well, the crew on the Mexican fishing boat said, quote, normal vital signs, but that they did suffer from severe exposure as well as lack of nutrition, malnutrition.
So where did they find them, like, roughly on the map? Like, did they drift down?
That part I don't know. I just know that it was 1,200 miles offshore.
That's
maybe
incredible.
At some point we'll get more information, but...
We'll have to see the movie.
He couldn't call for help, so the Mexican tuna boat just happened upon him. But think how small a catamaran is compared to the Pacific Ocean.
It's like a needle in a haystack.
Oh, yeah.
That's why he's gone.
And no one was looking for him. That's the thing that's so crazy. No one was looking for
him.
He
had no communications and no way to track his boat at all.
It is a miracle. 3 months adrift on the Pacific Ocean.
And the fact the dog made it, too, is amazing.
Bella, isn't that far more fascinating than anything happening in sports right now?
That's pretty good. That's hard to top.
All right. You can find us on Twitter or Facebook. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. Yes, Sugar is alive at 15 years old. She's still driving me nuts, although she can barely get up on the bed anymore. I have a high-profile mattress, and she can barely get up on the bed anymore. So now she's found other places to sleep, which is okay with me. One thing Sugar does not like, she does not like closed doors. So if the door is closed, she wants it open. If she's inside, she wants out. If she's outside, she wants in. She still wakes me up before dawn on Saturday and Sunday mornings because she has to let me know it's only 2 hours to breakfast. Oh, so annoying. So annoying. But I've had her since she was 4 months old. She and her brother were rescued from a bag that was discarded in a cemetery. And she has a broken tail for that reason, actually. She has it never did get straightened out. But the end of her tail is almost like a hook. A tight, very tight hook because she was thrown away in a bag with her brother. So sad. I can understand why she's high maintenance and highly needy. She's very needy.
That's another miracle. As we're talking miracles.
Yeah. Sadly, a lot of pets are discarded like that and thrown out and thankfully rescued by people who take them to vets or different rescue organizations. I actually adopted her from a veterinarian. Someone had rescued her and her brother and taken her to the vet. And so they had to have their shots and they were cared for. And I adopted her from this vet in Ohio. And I've had her now for 14 and a half years. She was 4 months old when I got her. And she, at the time that I adopted her, she really took to my cat Ellie as almost as though Ellie were her mom. And so when I had to put Ellie down a few years ago, Sugar was very stressed. Actually, Sugar and Penny were really stressed about losing Ellie. It's amazing how they get attached to their sisters, as I call them. And so Sugar wanted nothing to do with Penny for the first 11 years that I had her. But then once Ellie was gone, all of a sudden Sugar decided that Penny was okay and attached herself to Penny. So it's really funny because, you know, Penny can't hear very well anymore. So when she sleeps, she's out. I mean, she's out. She doesn't wake up for a lot of noises. In fact, I can walk right over the dog and she has no clue.
I've seen Penny out cold. Very comfortable. Very out.
Right. Well, the funny thing is Sugar waits until Penny is out cold and then sneaks up on her and sits right next to her. I've even seen the dog. She'll fall asleep with her feet up against the couch, the bottom of the couch, and Sugar will squeeze in between her legs and like sit there between Penny's belly and the couch because Penny has no clue and the cat is just sitting there. Or the cat will sit on the couch right above her. She's a lurker.
Yeah, show dominance.
Oh, poor Sugar. For the set, she gets very jealous when I pet the dog. She comes running. I don't know how she knows, but she comes running. And also, later in her life, Sugar has developed a fear of thunder. Because now when it thunders and lightning, she gets very slinky. She slinks along the floor.
Really?
And has to hide next to an interior wall. Yeah, she's an interesting cat. The opposite of what you would think about cats. She is not aloof. She is not afraid. She's the welcoming committee in the house.
I remember when we were watching a movie at your house, I was sitting on your chair, your comfy chair.
Oh, my comfy chair.
And
Penny loves the comfy chair, but Sugar likes it more.
Yeah, felt something as we were watching. I was like, what's something going on with my hat? I didn't get a haircut. And it was Sugar on my head.
Oh, yeah.
Just from behind.
Yeah,
just jumped up on there.
Well, because your head would be above the top of the chair, right? And so she will sit on my head too. She'll sit on the top of the chair and she'll smush herself up next to your head. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was in her spot. I guess.
She was happy to share it with you. Okay, so anyway, find her photo on Twitter and Facebook. Fine. I shared a photo of Sugar. Enough now. Stop asking. Every week on Ask Amy Anything. By the way, producer Jay, you may have been replaced as the lead announcer for Ask Amy Anything.
Really? Manny
took the job very seriously. He filled an entire loose leaf sheet of paper with handwritten questions. He even came up with rapid fire, and he wanted to start rapid fire with 4 minutes left in the hour. And I thought, I don't know what was going on. I said, are you sure you want to start rapid fire now? Yeah, I don't think he understood the concept of rapid fire. And so we did another question or two. He had 30 something questions. I told him you probably only need a dozen, but he spent the entire first 2 hours of the show last night writing down questions. I would need his attention in here waving, hitting the button. I'm trying to figure out how to get his attention. No, he's very, very busy. He's industrious writing down questions.
Wow.
He wrote them all out by hand.
That's tough to do in here. I mean, you got to be an octopus. How many arms does he have in here?
Well, that was the point. He wasn't available to do anything else because he was busy. Although I did get a text from him. First of all, he loves Ask Amy, so he would appreciate it if you would take more hump shows off. He thought that maybe that'd be something he'd like to do moving forward. But also, he apparently started doing some research on Wednesday because I woke up to a text from him that said, well, I did some investigating. 1,200 miles offshore is about the distance from New York City to West Palm Beach. That's how far out Timothy and Bella were on their stranded catamaran. The distance from New York to West Palm Beach.
Wow.
I know.
So he really did that research, too.
He did. And he was very proud of the fact that the tuna boat that rescued Timothy and Bella was Mexican. Every time I mentioned it, he did like a fist pump. proud of his heritage. Proud of his Mexican brothers and sisters who rescued Timothy and Bella. So, yeah, we had quite the, I'll say quite the entertaining week while you were gone. Not all on purpose, because as you know, the original fill-in producer decided to call out hours before you left for your vacation. And so poor Jay had to work multiple times over the course of his vacation.
I almost forgot about that.
You almost forgot?
Almost.
He's never, ever invited back on the show again. Ever.
It's just like that. It wasn't the first time.
No, it wasn't the first time. I'm telling you what. It was very unprofessional. And so instead, we had to have poor David Shepherd do a double. Oh, his dog had to suffer. His dog was home by, George is a boy. His dog was home by himself for 12 hours. Poor George. That's it. He's no longer invited back. Not David Shepherd, but the doofus who left us.
Fair.
Yeah, I think that's only fair. All right. Well, Jay is back. We'll have to get his assessment of the Windy City and his favorite part of the Windy City. Are you now a Red Sox fan? Is that what's happening here?
No.
This is the second time in two summers that you have traveled to see a Red Sox game.
That is true. And you know what? They're actually the Mets. My team is playing in Fenway over the weekend, and I have considered driving up to Boston. So it could be
the
third time I get to travel to see the Red Sox.
Why would you do that?
That's a good question. Really for the ballpark, but.
Oh. Wow. You didn't mention that to me. So I see how you are.
I think I have.
I see how you are. I'm the one that took you to Fenway the first time. And now you're just going on your own. Oh, I get it.
I know.
Okay,
the ropes
great.
Now.
Okay. Well, don't you worry. I climbed the crown of the statue to the crown of the Statue of Liberty without you.
Which pictures are tremendous, by the way.
You're welcome.
I would have never expected the inside to look like that.
Oh, so cool.
That staircase.
You could see her wavy hair up inside the crown, and I stood inside her face. I was inside her face and took a picture of her face from the inside.
Now, I saw one of your pictures, and it had, you could see like the inscription of the
tablet.
The tablet.
It has writing
Incredible.
On it. Yeah, awesome. It was really cool. So yes, We had adventures too while you were gone, but you'll have to share your adventures with us. Speaking of adventures, plenty of those on the base paths, as well as at Royal Liverpool across the pond. Oh, people get so mad when I do it, and it's the Open Championship, so I have to. Also, the start of the Women's World Cup is taking place down under, not Team USA. I don't think the United States plays till the weekend. Friday is when they play, and I think it's actually Friday night Eastern time, so Friday evening Pacific time, as the Americans go for a three-peat at the Women's World Cup. All right, guess what? Guess what? We have a brand new leader in the American League East. First time in a long time for the Baltimore Orioles. That's straight ahead. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Hi, my name is PJ Vogt. I host the podcast Search Engine, where every week I hunt down the answers to the questions I can't get out of my head. Like, why are drug dealers poisoning their customers with fentanyl? Or, is my local sushi restaurant a part of an international scam? Or, how sad are the monkeys at the zoo? If you, like me, find this world bewildering, but also sometimes enjoy being bewildered by it, check out the show. On the Odyssey app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever else you listen.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Bone, he smashes it to right field. Hayward on his horse, going back, and it's off the high wall. Here comes Hicks down to score. Henderson getting the wave around. Betts is thrown to the plate. The catch, the tag, he is safe! He got around the tag from Barnes. It's an opposite field 0-2 double by Ramon Urias against Julio Urias, and the Orioles lead it 4-2. Breaking ball hammered, right field. This one is headed for the bleachers, and this ball will find the bleachers. It is gone. The Orioles get one back on the long ball from Gunnar Henderson, who waves out towards the crowd in right center field, and the Orioles' lead is now 8-5 in the fifth inning.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Oh, don't look now, but the Baltimore Orioles, the team we spotlighted to start the work week, they are into first place in the American League East for the first time this season. And I heard this stat as I was watching MLB Network earlier before the show. I hope I got this right. You'll tell me if I didn't. It's the first time the Orioles have been in first place in their division after the All-Star break in 7 years. So this is the Orioles that they've been building, working on from the ground up for the past several seasons, and finally paying dividends. Last year, of course, with the incredible turnaround, and now into first place in the toughest division in Major League Baseball. With the Tampa Bay Rays backsliding, and we'll get to that coming up, the Orioles are taking advantage. The call's there on the Orioles radio network. Oh, do you know what's on the horizon? A series against the Rays, which we will get to. But for Gunnar Henderson, a home run and three times across the plate. And the Orioles needed all of that to get past the Dodgers. But it is kind of cool to see the way these Orioles are growing up on the job and learning how to take advantage of their opportunities.
At the end of the season, you'll look back and then those you lose the first two games of the series and you could just kind of get down and lose that last game. But I feel like that's just a testament to our team. We're not going to give away any games.
Nah, once we gotcha, we gotcha. The Orioles are nearly unbeatable when they score first. In fact, they're the best team in Major League Baseball. When they plate the first run, it's really hard to beat them, which speaks to not just their defense, but their pitching as well, following up. All facets of the game working together. And so for manager Brandon Hyde, it's now full speed ahead into the series against the Rays, which could speak volumes.
They're a great team. They have great pitching. They have guys that have hurt us in the past in the lineup. And we have to pitch to them well, and Tampa's a very, very tough place to play.
Well, Okay, it is. Not so much because of the fans, but it is a tough place to play because of the venue itself. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Speaking about those Tampa Bay Rays, boy, they could use a real strong series against the Orioles. Something, anything, to get the ship turned around and pointed in the right direction again. Running smack dab into a red-hot Rangers team.
And the opener's first pitch to Tavares is sent out to right. That one is not coming back. Way out of here. And Leody Tavares, who has been struggling of late, to solo home run. Lead off the bottom of the third. And the Rangers are on the board. They lead 1-0.
The set by Kelly and the pin. And that ball is driven deep to right field. Home run, Jonah Heim. A line drive blast that sails over Margot and goes at least a half dozen rows up into the seats. 14th home run of the year for Jonah. And we've got some separation now. It's 5-0 Texas.
Oh, yeah. All kinds of noisemakers in the background there at the ballpark in Arlington. The new one, if you will. The Rangers nearly 20 games above 500 now, and they win their sixth in a row on Rangers Radio. Finally, and actually a listener asked me as part of Ask Amy Anything, what's my opinion of the Texas Rangers? Finally, all the moves they've made, the money they've spent, it's coming together as this team protects its perch atop the AL West.
Just playing really good baseball right now. Both sides, just kind of clicking on all cylinders. You're trying to win series, so finding any advantage you can to win a game, whether that's making the big play, throwing somebody out at second, whatever it is we're trying to do.
Now, there were some anxious moments for the Rangers and their fans because they had not only Adelis Garcia leave the game with an arm injury, also John Gray had to leave with one out in the fifth inning because he had a bruised left shin. Ouch. That's the worst. You know what I do with my shins? I accidentally kick that bar beneath the underneath the grocery cart handle.
Oh.
Oh man, that bar is the worst. Or I have a recumbent bike in my house, and sometimes it just happens that I'm trying to get on or off the bike and I accidentally take a pedal to the shin.
The worst.
It is the worst. Anyway, so John Gray, I can identify and relate. He got hit by a comebacker, and so he has a bruised left shin. But Bruce Bochy wanted to put all the fears at rest.
Both of them are bruises. Dolly, left arm there. Caught him on the pad, but it hit him pretty good. So that's a bruise. I think he'll be fine, but his day-to-day did swell up a little bit. And same with John. He took a pretty nice shot in the calf on a really high velo shot there. And but, you know, we think he's going to be fine. It's just a bruise. We had them both x-rayed, and they're good.
I honestly think that Bruce Bochy is the kicker, though, for the Texas Rangers. Yes, they've spent money. They brought in some veteran pieces. They've got some incredible young talent, too. But to bring in Bruce Bochy and to give them, similar to what happened with the Mets and Buck Showalter last year, to give them a direction, a veteran presence, great leadership, a calming influence, a guy who's won. He's been at the pinnacle of Major League Baseball as a manager. It's just done wonders for the Rangers. So now they're 4.5 games ahead of the World Series champions in the AL West. They've got 6 straight wins, 7 of their last 10. Meanwhile, talking about the Rays, they've led the AL East for most of the year, but now percentage, not even full percentage points, 0.05 of a percentage point behind the Orioles. So they are sitting on 60 wins, but they've got 2 more losses. And this is crazy. They have 10 hits against the Rangers, but only manage 1 run.
Give credit to Texas pitchers. They pitched really well all 3 games, starters and relievers alike. We just, today it felt like we hit some balls hard and right at some guys. I mean, from Yandy's, the double play ball that Siri hit, we just couldn't get anything going. I mean, that's the way it goes sometimes, but it does feel like it is accumulating quite a bit.
They were 0-for-4 with runners in scoring position, so just couldn't get those guys around the base at the base paths. And now they've lost 11-of-14 as they fall into second place in the AL East.
pitching approaching you guys differently or pressing a little bit at the plate? How would you kind of sum up what you're seeing?
D, all the above. I mean, in fairness, we don't have much going our way right now. We're not creating opportunities like we're capable of, and the things that we're doing well are probably not showing up at the rate that we would like.
Kevin Cash didn't even bother with a C. He just went right to a D. That's what the Rays have earned lately.
D, all the above.
A D. So, yeah, in the AL East, where there's all kinds of drama playing out, Orioles are now in first. Rays are in second. The Blue Jays, meanwhile, they've missed an opportunity to pick up some ground on the Rays because they have dropped their last two games. The Red Sox, same thing. Yankees are in far dire straits, though, as in, I'm not even sure Aaron Judge can rescue this team now. And I know they play in the toughest division in baseball. They're still barely above 500, but they have lost 9 of their last 11. I think the only team worse than them since July 5th, so right before the All-Star break, is the Pittsburgh Pirates. Otherwise, the Yankees, they are fading fast.
Ow!
And there's no sign that Aaron Judge is going to be back anytime soon. I mean, there's even chatter now, and I think a lot of times as human beings, some of us jump to worst case scenario when we don't have information, but there's chatter now around New York that Aaron Judge might not be back at all this season. Of course, there he is talking about Shohei Ohtani as the Angels sweep the Yankees. Wednesday. Angels sweep the Yankees on Wednesday. So we'll get to that coming up. Also, still ahead on the show, as we said, Matt Adams, Golf Channel and Fairways of Life Radio and TV, will join us next hour live from Royal Liverpool in England as the Open Championship is underway. Saquon Barkley, well, he's got a message for the Giants indirectly. So we'll do a QB news as well on this edition of the show. Wait until you hear what Justin Fields has to say about the top 5 rushing quarterbacks of all time. And Draymond Green, he really needs to get back to basketball. Just needs to take a vacation and then get back to basketball. We're so glad to have you with us. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, me and Sugar, as a matter of fact. And then on our Facebook page, too, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
One-two pitch. That's hit well into left field. That ball's carrying deep out there. That ball's out of here! Well, Taylor Ward makes his first hit of this series. A big one. 2-run homer, 2-0 Angels.
Last year, he had 315 against lefties.
Here's the next pitch. This is lifted high, and this is hit deep out near the 390 sign, and that ball's out of here! Another home run. Renhifo connects. And for Luis, that's number 7. Angels have had a pair of homers in the first 2 innings. It's 4-0.
Now the 1-0 is grounded to short. Neto fields and throws across in time. Ball game over. Angels win.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Just when you thought it was safe to trade Shohei Ohtani, just when you thought that's the way the situation was going in Anaheim, the Angels have won 3 straight games. They sweep the Yankees, and now they're back above 500. You can hear the calls there with Terry Smith on Angels Radio, John Sterling on Yankees Radio. Yeah, we'll talk about the Yankees in a second, but Shohei Ohtani walked 4 times in this game. Do you know, early on, in fact, his very first time on base, very first at bat, first walk, right after him, Ward smacks a home run. Didn't that just happen on Tuesday as well? Where he gets walked intentionally and then Mickey Moniak smokes a home run right after that? Oh, that'll teach you. Now imagine if it was Mike Trout in the lineup. That would be nice if they could get Mike Trout back on the baseball diamond. So they've won 3 in a row now. As we get closer to the trade deadline, we're talking about not even 2 weeks away. Of course, the conversation around Ohtani, the speculation about whether or not he'll be traded, all of that will continue to get louder and louder, except if you're the Angels and you are right in the mix of this wild card race, so probably not the AL West, at least not the way the Rangers are playing right now. I mean, this is exactly what you needed to see from this team.
You're going to have little hiccups here and there. I told you at the beginning of the season we lost a few. We're going to do that again, and we're still going to do that again. It's just how you rebound from those things, and it's a very resilient room. There's some added leadership in there that you just know that those ruts are going to be a little less deep, if you will. But really good effort these 3 days. You know, that's a team that's in front of us, and everybody knows that. So, but enjoy the off day tomorrow, and we got to come out and play with the same intensity and everything this weekend against the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Hey, if the Angels can continue this winning and then get Mike Trout back on the diamond, there's some hope there. The fact that they have pulled within a game of the Yankees in the wild card standings. All right, so the Red Sox are 2.5 out behind the Astros, who right now are sitting in that third wild card. Red Sox, Yankees 3.5 out, Angels 4.5 out. And as I say, back above 500, ahead of the Mariners as well. They've got to keep it going, though, and they've got to have all this positive momentum as they get closer and closer to the All-Star break. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Chase Silthus gives up just one run on four hits, strikes out 10 into the sixth inning. And yeah, again, in addition to the bats, what they need is effectiveness like this from their pitchers.
Able to pound the zone. When you pound the zone and you can mix it up, like off speed, breaking balls in the zone, you can keep hitters off balance. And that was the key to the game today.
Completely the opposite for Carlos Rodon, though, and you'll be hearing about him for a different reason. On Thursday morning, it's going to be about the kiss that he blew to the fans who were booing him, were razzing him. He picks up another loss. He's now 0-3 on the season, doesn't get out of the fifth inning, but does allow 6 runs.
I feel like the rhythm, the way I was moving, just I didn't get that rhythm that I like to find. And, you know, I feel like they had a good plan. And I wasn't in the zone. And when I was in the zone, they did damage. And, you know, they just kicked my teeth in today. And it wasn't good.
Not just a handful of hits, but 5 walks in his 4 1/3 innings. And he blows a kiss as he's walking to the dugout. His team's already trailing by 4 runs. So what was that all about, Carlos?
I didn't really pay mind to what exactly was said, but, you know, a fan was angry, as they should be. I'm angry, too, and I was just angry at myself and blew a kiss, unfortunately.
Yeah, we acknowledge where we are, which is, you know, we're not very good right now. We understand that. And certainly this is a low point for us. And, you know, the silver lining in it all is it is in front of us, and we control that, and we understand that. We got to deal with it. We got to acknowledge where we're at and come ready to compete our ass off on Friday and believe that that's the day we turn it around. So, and if it's not, we keep going, and that's the focus, acknowledging where we're at. We're nowhere near where we want to be.
They have dropped 6 of 7. They've dropped 9 of 11. They're in the basement of the AL East. Now, they're still above 500, but that's the toughest division in the game, and they're just a mediocre club. Aaron Judge has been out since early June, so we're talking about roughly 6 weeks now, and the Yankees are hitting .218 without him. The crazy part is, even as Aaron Boone says, we stink right now, it's not like they don't have any other veterans. Gleyber Torres, Giancarlo Stanton, J.J. LeMahieu. I don't know what's going on with Anthony Rizzo. My goodness, it's a disaster. You can only ask so much of your pitching staff, though Rodon, he's got his own challenges after signing a pretty massive free agent deal. Whether or not Aaron Boone survives, that's a question. And then, while he's not likely to get let go in the middle of the season, what do they do midseason at the deadline? They're still right there in the mix when it comes to wild cards. But there's been no indication of when we might see Aaron Judge back on the field. Instead, Judge is hanging out pregame because he's with the team. And he's answering questions about Shohei Ohtani and whether or not Shohei might break his American League home run record set just last year.
You'll see him go down the mound and strike out the side and come up and, you know, lead off the inning with a home run. It's something we haven't seen for, you know, quite a long time, or have probably never seen in this game what he's doing. So he's an amazing talent, you know, a generational talent that, you know, I'm, you know, pretty blessed to get a chance to see him and compete against him on a daily basis.
Well, compete meaning you're watching right now. It's a bummer. This is not even Aaron's fault. It's different. Well, fault. Injuries are not anyone's fault. It would be different if, I don't know, he hurt himself because he tripped over something in his house or hurt himself diving. Who knows how else guys get injured. He's been injured before. But this is an injury that he sustained running after a ball, Dodger Stadium, running through a wall, essentially, a bullpen wall, and tore the ligament in his toe. And the last we knew, he was unable to run. And so instead, he's comparing his swing with Shohei Ohtani's, even as Shohei has got 35 home runs to lead the majors and is on pace to hit 60. Remember, Judge had the 62 last year, and boy, was it fun at the end of the season when he was getting all the attention. So he drops the line, records are made to be broken. But when it comes to Aaron Judge, the fact that he had that huge season last year, played most of the year, almost every game, and then now he's hurt again. It's just so frustrating for him, I'm sure, not to mention the Yankees. I kind of brought this up last night. I asked producer Jay what he thinks about it. We were thinking about doing football specific since we are 50 days out from the start of the NFL 2023 campaign, but we decided we would leave it more wide open than that. A lot of chatter about Ohtani. And in fact, maybe this time last year, it's Aaron Judge who is on the Mount Rushmore of sports. But right now, mid-July 2023, we're not limiting it to any one sport. Which four athletes, male or female, are on the Mount Rushmore of sports? Right now, mid-July 2023, not 3 decades ago, not best of all time. No, right now. Whether we're talking about the attention paid to them, the potential, what they're doing in their respective sports, who are the four athletes who belong on the Mount Rushmore of sports in July 2023. I'm going to go with Ohtani. I'm going to start us off with Ohtani. You can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, our Facebook page too. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.